Hello and welcome to the Sun Will Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. The recent retaliatory attack against Israel by Lebanese resistance group Hezbollah has inspired Palestinian resistance parties to show a united front to overcome Israeli occupation. Hezbollah launched the attack against an Israeli military convoy, killing two Israeli soldiers and injuring eight others. This was a cause for celebration for pro-Palestinian resistance factions. Hamas, for example, commended the action, describing it as a natural and legitimate response to Israel's crimes. For the past few years, as the Arab revolutions and uprisings have taken place, some say the united front against Israel has faltered. But on today's show, we'll be discussing how it's being revived. But first, here's our correspondent Ashraf Shannon reporting from Gaza on the pro-resistance celebrations.
Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah's retaliatory attack against Israel has inspired Palestinian resistance factions to show a united front against the Israeli occupation. Following Hezbollah's retaliatory attack that killed two Israeli soldiers and injured eight others, Palestinian resistance factions in the blockaded Gaza Strip gathered to express their support and praise for Hezbollah. Senior officials from various Palestinian factions, including Fatah, Hamas, PFLP, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, called for a united stance against Israel.
We salute Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah for this heroic act and the great achievement for the Lebanese resistance. This is a great achievement for jihad as it reasserts that the resistance front from Lebanon to the Shebar farms to Jerusalem al-Quds to Gaza and Quneitra is a unified front against our enemy.
Hezbollah's retaliation was in response to Israel's killing of Hezbollah fighters and an Iranian general last month. Palestinian resistance factions who were united during the recent Israeli war on Gaza called for the collaboration between Palestinian resistance factions and Hezbollah to confront Israeli aggressions.
This was a strong response and it paves the way for a new era where Palestinian and Lebanese resistance factions would work together with everyone who wants to fight the Israeli occupation and to stop any Israeli aggression against the Palestinians, the Lebanese, or any Arab or Islamic country.
Palestinian resistance factions believe that armed resistance is the only way to liberate occupied lands. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, PFLP, said the key to Hezbollah's success was the element of surprise and the good planning.
Hezbollah's retaliation was a sophisticated military operation that hurt the Zionist enemy. It also shows that resistant factions in southern Lebanon, Gaza, and the West Bank complete each other and must work together.
During Israel's 50-day war on Gaza, Israeli forces were unable to defeat Palestinian resistance fighters who were less equipped and less trained than Hezbollah fighters.
Experts say Israel backed down from a major military confrontation with Hezbollah, fearing heavy losses among its soldiers. Ashraf Shannon, The Sun Will Rise, Gaza.
To discuss and debate the resistance front against Israel, we have two Palestinian journalists in the studio with us today. Nawaf At-Tamimi is from the West Bank and is a regular writer and commentator for a number of Arabic media outlets. And Bashar Zeidan is also a journalist from the West Bank as well as a Palestinian activist. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in today. Bashar, if I could start with you. Those images of unity, I guess we haven't seen them in a while, maybe. Good to see?
Yes, of course it is. And we have to remember at those moments that the Palestinian resistance and the Lebanese resistance have always been in unity since the days of the 70s and the 80s. And a lot of the prominent leaders in Hezbollah today have been fighters with the Palestinian resistance in the 80s in Lebanon and the 70s. So they've always shared the same unity against the same enemy. The geopolitics has changed in the region, and the Lebanese resistance took the front of this when the Palestinian resistance slowed down, I would say, in the Palestinian land. So, but they've always been in unity. And when both of them are attacking the same enemy, yeah, you would always see this unity. The Palestinian people are always on the popular front, they would always support any act of resistance against Israel.
And I guess, I suppose we can't talk about this topic without talking about the wider geopolitical aspects, Syria especially. I think the last couple of years, the spotlight's been off Palestine, hasn't it? Ultimately, without that unity, Israel can never be confronted, right?
Of course, it can't be confronted now, but this is the situation now in the Arab region, and I think the Palestinian resistance should start making advantage of this situation in the Middle East. And I do believe that the Palestinians on the ground can play a crucial role in this change in the region. Israel is becoming, if we read the news, Israel is becoming closer ally to many of the ring countries around Palestine, Egypt, Palestine, and Jordan in particular, because of the peace treaties. And this coordination, intelligence, security, military, is getting stronger and stronger. And it won't be long before we see Israel as an ally to some of the countries who are fighting on other land. I think the Palestinian resistance, if they start something in Palestine, they can change this plan, because Israel is doing all of this because they are not afraid of a strong resistance from within.
Nawaf, Israel didn't respond to Hezbollah's attack, did they? Why is that? I mean, if Hamas had done that, the same thing, they definitely would have gone in really heavy into Gaza.
Let me first back to your first question about the unity and about the cooperation between the resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine. And it might sound strange if you heard me saying thank you to Israel, because every time some political agendas in the region, they try to divert the conflict to other side, to put it as a sectarian conflict in the region. Israel, with their stupid acts, they remind us that we have one enemy, and that's Israel.
Yeah.
And we all must united to face that enemy. So this is the first point. The second point, actually, Israel, before anybody else, now they are unable to deny that Hezbollah is not a group of fighters or militias based in South Lebanon or in Al-Dahia in Beirut. Now, Israel, before anybody else, they are admitting day after day, on their political level and military level, and even security level, that Hezbollah now is a major player in the region. Yeah. Not just on the level of the conflict between Hezbollah and Israel, but in the region. So for them now, before they react or before they respond, now instead of counting, as we said in Arabic, instead of counting till 10, now they have to count maybe till 100.
Yes.
Before, so as Israel...
Ultimately, we're going to come back to this conversation in a few minutes, because we're going to move on. Ultimately, they have to think twice before. Whereas Hamas is obviously not as strong a force as Hezbollah in the military sense. So they kind of go in a bit harder when it comes to Hamas. We're going to come back to this in a few minutes. Your views and comments are an integral part of the show. And we always try and prioritize your input on our social media pages. So here's Camelia Shambayati with what you've been saying about the Hezbollah retaliatory attack and other issues.
Hello and welcome to this week's social media roundup. When the news of Hezbollah's retaliatory attack against Israel emerged, the importance of the armed resistance was reignited online. If we take a look at a few comments on Facebook, people expressed their support for a united front against Israel. Winston from the UK said, "All the nations of the Middle East should join together and drive the Zionist occupation out. The Zionists are the number one threat to peace and stability in the region." Similarly, Inno from Uganda expressed the need for more resistance. He said, "The Palestinians in the West Bank need a similar force, or else the land grabbers will build more settlements in their land. An armed resistance is the only logical way to handle Israel. #resist." Meanwhile, Khan from Pakistan said, "The Zionists killed innocent women and children in Gaza, and the West didn't stop them. All Muslims should help Hezbollah. They are heroes." Moving on, there's been some high social media activity surrounding the boycotts, divestment and sanctions movement. And this is because the University of California Student Association overwhelmingly passed a vote in support of divestments from companies engaged in systematic violations of Palestinian rights, such as Boeing, Caterpillar and Hewlett-Packard. It's a significant vote as this student association is the official voice of hundreds of thousands of students across the University of California. And finally, young Palestinians from Jerusalem have found a way to escape their troubled lives and the occupation thanks to the extreme sport called free running. In Jerusalem, Sami, Jihad and Mahmoud practice free running above the streets of the old market, on the walls of the old city and even on the apartheid wall. More than a sport, free running allows them to escape the reality of their lives, to be free to move and to go wherever they want. And that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please be sure to check out our Facebook and Twitter accounts for your chance to be on the show.
Bashar, getting into the geopolitics of this, I mean, obviously, we have to admit that there was a kind of weakening of ties between Hamas and the resistance axis. Initially, after the Arab revolutions broke out, Hamas came under amazing pressure to break those ties from certain sections of the Muslim Brotherhood, maybe certain sections within it, etc. But do you think now that Palestinians have come to the conclusion that what's happening in Syria is kind of a diversion away from their cause, and that ultimately their cause has to take priority over other geopolitical issues that...
I wouldn't put it this way. The Palestinians in general have been sympathizing and supporting all other Arab countries mainly. That's the notion that all Palestinians share. And they do see that there's a shift in the focus somewhere else. But they surely, most of them, understand that the Palestinian cause is a part of all this change in the region, even if the focus was somewhere else. There's always ties to the Palestinian cause, to the Israel, to the way that the whole world is shaping up in the Middle East. And
but I guess what I'm trying to say is that Arabs and Muslims are never going to agree over Syria, are they? No. We know that there's a difference of opinion.
Neither over Palestine. We have seen in the last 20, 30 years two different extremes in the Arab world. There are parts who decided not to fight. Moreover, they decided to fully coordinate with Israel. And we have other sides who decided to take up this fight. So the Palestinian people normally do not have the luxury of choice. They would be supportive to any country or party or movement that is against Israel, whether that was military, whether that was in any form of resistance that the Palestinians can have access to. And that's exactly, but they shouldn't separate that from what they need to do on the ground. And there's a lot of work to be done inside Palestine, in the West Bank and in Gaza and in the 1948 land.
Nawaf, if I could ask you the same question, have the Palestinians generally, have they concluded that what is happening elsewhere in the Arab world is a distraction away from their cause, that has been, it's been kind of detrimental to their cause?
Yeah, of course, you know, they they are, I think, seeing things in different way after this last three, four years as the Palestinian, I mean.
Yeah.
But as Arab as well, you know, I think people now, they will reach the point where to believe in a theory, some of us were saying it, you know, for the last maybe 30, 40 years, that no sustainable development and no sustainable democracy in the Arab world without ending the Israeli occupation. Mm-hmm. Israel will not allow any country from Morocco to Oman to have sustainable society, sustainable development, high-tech industry, high education, any kind of human development. Israel will not allow this to any Arab countries. So as long as Israel there, it's a cancer. There is no way for any Arab country to live, as I said, in a kind of democratic situation or in a developed country.
But
why that? We've been saying this for many years. any country in the region, if they have the power and the means, that means anything added to any side of the Arab equation, that means it's a minus to the Israeli equation. So Israeli, they will resist. They will do whatever they do, you know, to stop this. And let's be frank. The Arab Spring, when it started by people. By people who are keen and desperate to have a democratic society, a democratic political regime. But Israel suddenly woke up, you know, what's going on in the Arab world? No, let's start working under the table and do whatever we can to destroy this and to divert it again. And now we see that powers, Israel, the United States, Western powers, other powers, they are trying now to sit up as what's going on in the region. It's a sectarian between Sunni and Shia.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes' time when we conclude this discussion. But for now, we're going to move on again. Regular viewers will know that we really do our best here to cover the Palestinian stories that the mainstream media ignores. So here's a quick roundup of what's been happening in Palestine.
Recently, Israeli occupation forces attacked peaceful demonstrators in the West Bank city of Hebron, who were protesting against a visit by Israeli President Reuven Rivlin. It shows Palestinian adults and children carrying signs saying, "Rivlin is not welcome," and "Open Shahada Street," and shouting slogans like "No occupation." Shahada Street was once the old city's thriving main street, but has been closed to Hebron's more than 200,000 Palestinians for years to allow a few hundred settlers to reign free. Media reports say one person was injured. Protests are continuing in the occupied East Jerusalem neighborhood of Al-Tur against Israel's police harassment of Palestinian students and parents on their way to and from school. It is reported that since the summer, police have been stationed at the entrances of schools harassing students. According to a report by the Child Rights International Network, some 700 Palestinian children per year are arrested and face ill treatment by Israeli forces. Traumatized by war, a 14-year-old Gazan boy called Hatem has joined Hamas training camps to be ready for the next war against Israel. He is one of 17,000 youngsters who graduated last month from two military training camps where Hamas said it was preparing the next generation to fight against Israel. Hamas insists that teaching children how to fight is a legitimate part of resistance activities against Israel. And finally, a 14-year-old Palestinian schoolgirl jailed by Israel has become a symbol of Palestinian anger over the arrests of children in the occupied territories. The two-month sentence for Malak al-Khatib, who was accused of stone-throwing and possession of a knife, has unleashed a wave of solidarity and support among Palestinians.
Nawaf, I want to start with you talking about the sectarian stuff that's going on in the region. Crazy sectarian stuff, really. You were saying that you feel that Israel is deliberately kind of instigating this and stirring it?
Yeah, as I said, you know, if we went back to the things as in its basic, we'll see that if we have a region with democratic states, with high advanced education system, with welfare system, where people, they think and they have the leisure of thinking, they will focus and they will pay attention to Israel.
Yeah.
But if we put these people in a bad education system, a very high unemployment, a very dictatorship regimes, every bad situation you might think of, that means these people, they will turn just to think about their daily life.
Yeah.
So Israel can do whatever for themselves and in the region. When the Arab Spring happened and when these people, they wake up and said, no, we cannot live more under regimes like Hosni Mubarak or Zain al-Abidin bin Ali or whatever, and they start shouting for and demanding for democratic states, Israel think about it and see that these young Arabs, if they achieved exactly what they want, that means in one day, they will see Israel as the true cancer in the region, and this cancer has to be removed. That's why, as I said, they start working on diverting the real issues and real matters.
Bashar, the concept of armed resistance, especially. Now, obviously, in Gaza, it's alive and well. In the West Bank, we don't talk about armed resistance anymore, do we?
No, we don't. And I think the reason for that is, if we want to go back 20 years ago or 22 years ago after Oslo, the Palestinian Authority sold Oslo to the people on the basis that we're going to build a state and infrastructure, and we're going to be stronger, and then we'll fight for the rest of the land. Well, 22 years from that, politicians before people understand that this is a bone dead state. You can't have a state on 18% of the land with the way that Israel is dealing with this file now. What Israel has done very smartly and cleverly is to outsource the occupation to the Palestinian Authority. Yeah. The Palestinian Authority is managing the occupation rather than creating a state. So because the Palestinian Authority is coordinating fully intelligence and security with the Israelis, the armed resistance in the West Bank is being sadly stopped by the Palestinian Authority, while most of the real intifada, the second intifada in 2001, it started in the West Bank. Yes. It was huge in the West Bank. I don't see that as a far cry. It's going to happen sooner or later, and it just needs something
just
to make
just
it.
Just to finish off very quickly, because we've got a minute left. I mean, is Palestine still the number one issue in the region? Are we going to return to a point where it is?
It is. It strongly is. It will always be. Everything is revolving around this fight and this cause in the region. Because if we look broadly, without being so much of a conspiracy theory believers, you would find Israel hands everywhere. So if that is the central cause, if we solve this, then everything else will follow in the right place.
Nawaf, in 30 seconds, final word to you.
I think, again, you know, Israel, with their aggression, with their continuous occupation, they always will force the Palestinian issue as the first on the agenda.
Okay. Well, we could talk a lot more, obviously, but thank you very much. We have run out of time. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. Once more, thank you to our guests, and don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.